Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
The Survivor Specialists are back, and I am finally giving my final thoughts on Survivor AU versus the world. It took me a long time. I just actually watched these episodes like recently, the last four episodes. It took me a bit here. I'd kind of heard what happened, but I hadn't seen everything. But I just watched the finale now. And so this is very fresh in my mind. I'm ready to dive in, give my final thoughts and all of that. These are just going to be what I am thinking about the season pretty much overall. It's not going to really be a breakdown of the different moves that happened. I know we already have those episodes on this channel. So we already have people talking about that. I know Tegwith and Will, and we had Kelly Nalbandian jump in, which was awesome. John and McKenna handled the finale, which was great. So everybody's already kind of given the specialist thoughts on what they thought episode by episode. But I'm just kind of jumping in. I said I would do this after I got back from my trip. And so here I am. I'm ready to jump in. I'm ready to talk about Parvati's win and Ceri going out in another heartbreaking fashion, and Luke and what his game was, which was interesting that people felt he could win going into that final tribal council. I thought it was weird how even Ceri going out felt that he had the best chance to win. That really did not come across for me on this season almost at all. Also, if my microphone doesn't sound right, please tell me in the comments here, because I need to make sure that I have the right microphone plugged in. It was being weird earlier, so hopefully we're good. So I just want to address that right now. And here I am. Also, if you have questions, comments, concerns, any of that fun stuff, throw it over there in the chat and I'll try to get to it, because obviously I'm doing this one solo, so I have nobody to bounce any thoughts or ideas off of. First, I'll start with the big one, Parvati's win, right? This is number two. This puts her on the same playing field as Tony and as Sandra in terms of number of wins. I still don't feel she's at the level of those two, but I think that this firmly puts Parv etched into stone on the Rushmore. There's really no way you can ever take her off, right? I know that Jonathan and the way it's edited and the way people talk, the greatest in the world, the greatest of all time, all of that. She had the biggest target on her back. She really didn't have the biggest target on her back coming into this season. Lisa was crying over playing with Ceri, was going to quit the game so that Tommy could stay. Like, Lisa, Parv, Ceri being on the same starting tribe, there's no way you can tell me that Parv was the biggest target stepping onto that beach, because she wasn't. There were three people out of seven on her starting tribe, and yes, I'm including her in that three, but three out of seven were not looking to vote her out on day one. Now she has to find one other person. She's got people like Tony playing. She's got Rob Bentelli, who's overplaying. There were so many avenues for her. So I do agree kind of with the sentiment that Parv has here, where she thinks this is her best game. I do think that this is her most flawless game. Going into that final tribal council, I really don't think that there was any doubt she played a better game than Luke and Janine. Definitely played a better game than Janine, but I think most of the people on the jury wanted to vote for Luke, right? I think Shawnee wanted to vote for Luke. I think Kirby wanted to vote for Luke. We know that Sarah does end up voting for Luke. I think Tommy maybe even was willing to vote for Luke, but Parvati just played a better game. She had more control over the things that were happening. People never voted for her. Luke had to play this kind of underdog game, which really wasn't going to work on this season unless he had some massive, major, major move, which he just never was able to do. So look, the right person won this season, but in terms of the GOAT conversation, Parvati lost to Sandra at a final tribal council. Okay. She sat down next to her and lost. So I'm not putting her above Sandra. Sandra won her first two times. And I'm not putting her above Tony, because I don't care that she beat Tony this time. Tony winning Winners at War to me is more exciting. I understand that this will be a hot debate forever. I saw something, and I think it was Princess of Kindness or something like that on X. It just randomly came up. Look, I'm like scrolling through while I was in airports, on trains, all of that. I wasn't like really reading, but I think it was Princess of Kindness, something like that. I know that always pops up every now and then in my ex, but it was like, Tony has the outplay, Sandra has the outlast, and Parvati has the outwit. And I think that's a really good way to look at the 3-2 time winners in Survivor history, right? They each excel at one thing over the other. And I think that Parvati, with the outwit, she knows how to manipulate people's emotions so well. And she knows how to use what her abilities are to the best of that ability, like to the best of the capabilities. She's so good at doing what it is that she does. And I think that that's just why you could kind of say all of them here. Willie D says, I think Parv is a better overall player than Sandra, but I'd put Tony at number one, then Parv, then Sandra. Again, I just cannot put Parv over Sandra, because Sandra sat next to her and Sandra beat her. And I know a lot of people, I know Goryeb over here has been going on and on about how it was a bitter jury and Parvati has said it was a bitter jury and all that. I don't care. Like, Sandra beat her at Final Tribal. Are you going to sit here and say Russell Hans should have beaten Natalie? Because I know a lot of the people who make the argument that Sandra, or that Parvati was robbed by a bitter jury, will not make the same argument for Russell in Samoa that he was robbed by a bitter jury. So I'm not totally buying this argument. Sandra beat Parv. Yes, if you were to say you get to pick one or two people to put onto the island and you think that they have the best potential to go far, to make a run, no matter what the season is, no matter what the style is, no matter what, Parvati is the number one pick in that draft, right? There's almost no doubt. The number two pick is probably Sari. You're probably taking them over Tony and you're taking them over Sandra. But I just think that here's Goryeb. Sandra played five times and three times was pre-jury, but she won her first two. Parvati did not win her first time. In fact, Parvati finished sixth her first time and was not, if it wasn't for Penner even being on the favorites tribe, nobody would have even really seen her as a huge threat coming into fans versus favorites because she was a non-factor in the end game and really for most of the game of Cook Island. So I think that what we're looking at here is we have a clear top three, but I'm not going to put Parvati over Sandra or Tony. And honestly, I don't really even think that it's worth really entertaining the conversation. Although I know the Parvati stands or are going to do it. A Cook says, do you ever think a better player can lose to a worse player? Like, is Amber higher ranked than Rob overall? No, I disagree. I think that a better player can lose to a worse player for sure. But I think circumstances also matter, right? And I think that in Heroes versus Villains, Sandra and Parvati were both one-time winners sitting at that final tribal council. And Sandra did what she needed to do to get the votes to win that game and beat Parv. And when I can compare them apples to apples like that, like Rob and Amber aren't the same player. Rob dragged Amber through the game. And then Amber got votes because everybody hated Rob. That's a bit like that to me would be Parvati versus Russell. Now, Parvati is a better player than Russell, and there's really no arguing that, but that would be more of that argument in my factor or in this conversation, in my point. So I think that, yeah, Tony, Sandra, Parvati, however you want to do it, that's fine. Look, I'm still putting Todd above Parvati, and you all can be as pissed at me as you want. I don't really care. He's only played once. He's batting 1,000. He won on his first time and played one of the hardest seasons, I think, to win. So, yeah, I had Parvati at 5. I don't really think I'm changing that. But that, again, goes to what this season is. So getting off of the Parvati subject, what I want to talk about here is that this AU versus the World season for me felt more like Winners at War than Second Chance. And what I mean by that is, I know 100% because I've seen, look, I can see the likes and dislikes on the back end. I don't know who's doing the dislikes, but we get our most dislikes on the AU versus the World videos that we put out, right? We get more dislikes on these episodes than we got for Brain versus Braun 2, than we get for The Amazing Race, than Blake and McKenna were getting for Big Brother, like than me and John get for our random ass movie podcast. I know that we're getting more dislikes on this, but I'm going to keep on saying exactly what I feel. I know that if I sit here and I say 10 out of 10 season, greatest of all time, I loved every second of it, best cast, Parv played the best game, no, nothing would have been done differently, and this is perfection, this is the best. I know that I will get a lot more likes for saying that, right? I know that if I start putting that on social media, we're going to gain a bigger following. But at the end of the day, it's nonsense. There's so much wrong with this season. It's crazy. And I think the hype is that with all of these players coming back and playing, the legendary status of this season was determined before they even stepped foot on the island. And that's what Winners at War was, right? Second Chance, though, is when you got that legendary status and then it was executed almost to perfection. I think Second Chance is a little overrated, but Second Chance has so many great moments. So many. The players are playing so hard throughout. You're seeing players like a Stephen Fishback, who we thought so highly of, going into that season start to fall apart. We're seeing, you know, Wentworth and Savage and Jeremy, all of these players, and then Spencer and Tasha, are they actually that good of players? What is happening here? There was so much going on in Second Chance, whereas Winners at War, it was, look at the fact that we just got 20 winners to play together. This is awesome. It has some highs. It has a lot of lows. And it gets pretty predictable. And that's how this season felt to me. I never really felt that Luke had a chance to win this season. To me, it felt like it was being set up for par from day one when they gave her 17 confessionals or whatever it was in the first episode. I have her here. She got 13 in episode one, and I don't know if this is the accurate one or not. But yeah, Parv dominated the confessional count from the start. She dominated her tribe from the start. She dominated the game from the start. And it was very obvious that she was going to be the person who was ultimately going to end up winning this season. So that's why I feel that there's a lot of flaws surrounding this season. It's just that I've talked a lot about it. The setup was not good. The eight women, six men was stupid. Putting Parvati and Sari on the same starting tribe with Lisa, whose whole mission was to play. She literally says in a confessional that she wants Sari to win more than anything in the world. I'm sorry, but there's not a lot of adversity for Parvati and Sari to have to overcome that player, okay? Like, that's crazy talk. That's crazy talk. So when I look at how this season was set up, when I look at the players, all of that, I do think that they need to go full-blown whatever they do next, because I think AU versus the World was such a hit. The ratings are up. Honestly, it might have saved JLP's career. I know that there's rumors and stuff of maybe he goes to another network and does something. I know that there's rumors of potentially that this AU versus the World thing could be something that happens every year. I don't know what's real and what's not, because again, I've just been looking at my phone and scrolling, so I don't know what's nonsense and what's not. I haven't actually done my own research really on a lot of this, but there's going to be another AU versus the World, right? There is. However, if they're going to do it, find people who are willing to go all in and do it. This is 16 days. It wasn't enough. It was 14 people. It wasn't enough. I know that people are saying, well, those early tribals were so electric, so awesome. They create suspense out of omission, right? So many things, they act like it's super crazy and super exciting, but they're really just not telling you the full story. That was the Rob Bentelli vote. There was nothing dramatic about Rob Bentelli going home at all to start this season. So for me, I feel that if you're going to do this again, you got to go big. And this is going to bring maybe to my more controversial point. I don't know how people are feeling about this. The World players did not work on this season. They did not work at all on this season. And I'm talking about the four international players. Rob Bentelli brought it in the one episode he was in, but he was only in one. Lisa felt like she was going to bring it early, and then the editors just totally disregarded her. Six of her 16 confessionals were in the first episode, okay? And then she disappears for the majority of the rest of the season until her actual boot episode. Tommy with seven confessionals in seven episodes. Cass with 10 confessionals in seven episodes. They were not in enough of the show. And what the confessional count tells me, and obviously this isn't necessarily the point for Lisa, but Lisa did end up with the most out of all these players, and it was the highest average, so it's not just because she went the furthest in the game. They had a hard time editing this. They had a hard time editing the people whose English was not their first language. And I think that if they're going to do AU versus the World again, and you're going to have international players that aren't just US players, let them do their confessionals in the language that they're most comfortable with. Because then they're going to get more screen time, right? Cass doing the confessional in French, where she's got the champagne and everything at the spa, that felt like the most authentic Cass moment. And I don't know if it was like a shy away from that, from the producers, where they didn't want it to be loaded with subtitles or something along those lines. But I do think that they need to figure out how to do that. Because those three players were really non-factors on this season, right? And Cass said it in an earlier episode where it was like, it's hard to lie in English. I can lie in French. It's hard to lie in English. They need to figure out what to do. If they want to do an AU versus the World again, my idea for it would be 8 versus 8 versus 8. Do your 24 players. Go back to what you did in season one of AU. Do a US tribe, an AU tribe, and an international tribe, right? Do those three tribes of eight and then mix them up after the first four boots. And now at final 20, we got two tribes of 10. do that. Because it at least starts it off where then we can get to know some of the players that we don't actually know. Lisa and Cass and Tommy are fighting for screen time with people that the Australian audience, or the Australian producers already know are great TV, right? They already know that the fandom loves everybody they put on from AU and loves everybody they put on from US. So now you're trying to get these other people involved. And you're trying to figure out which confessionals to use when there is a language barrier with some of it. And instead, they just left it all on the cutting room floor. If you're going to go AU versus the world and you want to get players from Quebec and from Finland and from some of these other countries, I don't even know who has it. I know like New Zealand had one season in South Africa, and I know there's UK and all that. If you want to go that way, you almost have to figure out how you can put them in to their own tribe of eight. And if you don't want to go that way, I think you just have to do a, you know, 10 versus 10, 12 versus 12, U.S. versus Australia. And I know Goryeb here says probe shut down AU versus U.S., blame him. That's what everybody says. That's what the rumor is. Somehow Australia was able to use the footage from U.S. Survivor. So there had to be some type of back and forth there with CBS to make it okay that they're using Amanda and Parvati and Cerise sitting there. Like something had to happen there. So I don't know. We'll have to see what ends up happening in the future. And Hero of J here says three tribes aren't possible anymore, Phil, because of budget cuts. That's fair. Okay. And if they're doing budget cuts and they can't do it, they can't do it. I do think though, that if you're going to go this route, just like it didn't work. It did not work in my opinion, because those players were just completely overshadowed. Completely overshadowed. And I understand that it's like, well, they're up against Tony, Suri, and Parv. Yeah, they're up against Tony, Suri, and Parv. But if Tony, Suri, and Parv are going to eat up all the screen time, find other players who could potentially get screen time with them. So, I don't know. And like John Byrne says, I think it's weird to have a world tribe with three from the one country anyway. Like, yeah, you're going one South Africa, one Quebec, one New Zealand, one Finland, three U.S., what are you telling us? You want US. Like, that's what you're telling us at that point. And so if you want to, Goryeb says the footage is used everywhere on social media, so they can't ask or force AU not to use it. If you're putting it out for payment like this, like you absolutely need to get the rights to air that on TV. Arrested Development, for anybody who watched that on Netflix, when they did season four, the reason why it says like watermark and everything on there is because they literally didn't get the rights from Fox or whatever network originally aired Arrested Development to use clips from other seasons. So they had to use it with like the huge watermark / timestamp and stuff. Social media is much different than actually putting it into your televised show there. Like there's permissions and stuff that need to go into all of that for sure. But anyway, that's not the conversation I'm looking to have. I just think that AU versus the world is a really fun idea. This felt like a warm-up for something that's going to be better. And here's what I think is going to be really, really, really funny. I think that when we get to season two of AU versus the world, we are going to have a much worse cast and a much better season. I think that the cast will be... Look, you can't hit the level of Suri, Tony, and Parvati as the three Americans. You can't do it. Because we've already seen Russell and Sandra play this, and Boston Rob's not going to go out and do this. Right? So you can't hit the level of Suri, Parvati, and Tony. That's the three best you could get as the representation on a season like this. But whoever they do get from the U.S. for the next version of this is going to be great, not at that level. But I think the season will have more players, more days, and it'll be a lot more just everything will be more. Like that's, I guess the word here is more. It needs to feel like a full-fledged Survivor season. And what I really think is super, super funny about this is I've been covering Survivor on this YouTube channel since season 30. When this got cut to 26 days in season 41, people were talking about like, this isn't real Survivor, right? It's not the same. It's not the same. It's not the same. But then when it gets cut to 16, but it's this cast, people are so forgiving of it. So do you actually care about the amount of days? In my opinion, when you're doing abbreviated days like this, it also feels like you're doing abbreviated seasons. Now, I know Sari and Parvati wouldn't do it if it was longer. Tony wouldn't do it if it was longer. Get somebody else then who would. I've said that a couple times on this podcast throughout the season. Get somebody who would do it then for a longer period of time. And I think that's the route that they need to go now. Because if Australian Survivor were to do, you know, two seasons a year, but or they just did one season a year, but every other season was an AU versus the world style season, it needs to be like, I want that to be the year season for Survivor Australia. I don't want it to be that they do what do you call it? Like, oh, it's an abbreviated season that just kind of goes along with the full season. That makes it not feel as good. That makes it feel not as important. We watched Brain versus Brawn 2 for 8 weeks. We watched this one for 3. That's crazy. So they got to go all in on it. And I think that's, you know, if this is the future of Survivor, this could be the future of what Survivor looks like, right? Because let's be real here. The hype around 50, if you look at our numbers for season 49, and then you look at the numbers we're pulling for 50, the hype around 50 is going to be insane, right? Our coverage for 50 is going to start hitting numbers like Winners at War and all that. And obviously, this is a small sample size. It's YouTube. But you can go look at Fairplay's channel. You can go look at Rob's channel. The numbers skyrocket for these kinds of things, right? In a way that they don't for a regular season of Survivor. Look at what AU versus the World was able to do from a rating standpoint, from what it did for the podcast and everything, for what it did for people who are just excited about Survivor. It's bringing more people into AU, which is a good thing and a bad thing for AU, because now AU fans who are used to saying it's great and not really receiving any pushback, now it's becoming a little bit more mainstream. As a diehard Arcade Fire fan, I saw what happened with that when they won their Grammy for the suburbs. All of a sudden, all the people who loved Arcade Fire now had to be defensive against people who had never heard of Arcade Fire and were trying to say Arcade Fire is better than whatever. It's like, look, like, it's nice sometimes kind of being in a little indie sphere and just kind of being able to be in your little echo chamber of everything's great, nothing can go wrong. Because once it becomes more of a full-fledged thing, that becomes problematic. But yeah, AU, like, the numbers are better. More people care about this. If AU wants to continue to grow their numbers, keep pulling like this. Because when you had Russell on an episode, or, you know, two episodes, whatever the hell he was on, when you have Sandra on a couple episodes, that's one player, right? They can be overshadowed by others. Maybe you're going to, it's stunt casting to try to get people to care about the episodes for as long as they're in. But as soon as they're gone, that might be the end. People, especially on Blood versus Water, like, once Sandra went, what the hell was the point of watching that season? So it might be to try to get people in the door. But the thing when you did multiple like they did here is now people are in the door and they're hanging out at the party. They're not leaving right away. Tony goes home super early, but people are hanging around to see what happens with Parvati and Sari. AU's numbers will shoot through the roof if they continue to do this. I don't know how many people are going to do it for a $250,000 AU prize, which, just to get put that in perspective, AU to dollar, that's 166,000 US. So I don't know how many people are going to play for that from the US, 166,000 to go out there and play for such an extended period of time. They'd probably have to bump up the pay. But again, that's where I'm saying, make this a full season. Make, like, you tested out this experiment and it's clearly successful. This is the most people have been talking about Australian Survivor ever. I'm doing this a week after it ended. And now, like, people are still watching and still caring and people are still talking about it, right? People are still having the discussion of Parv versus Tony versus Sandra. That is a conversation that is still happening. People are now, there's even more of a craving for, why is JLP going? Which, by the way, I do think that the Golden God becoming the host over JLP, that's a short-sighted hope that it's going to boost ratings. I don't think it's going to boost ratings. I don't think it's going to make a difference. I don't think the people who tune in for Australian Survivor are tuning in for the host, but I think JLP is a really, really good host, and the Golden God could be a great host, but JLP is a phenomenal host. I think to replace him with the Golden God is kind of shocking. And I don't think it's going to do as much for their ratings as they think. I got to remember what my initial point was at this point, because now I'm just going off on tangents. This is the the brutal part for anybody who's been listening to the Patreon coverage of my Australian Survivor, this is pretty much what it is every time, where I just start rambling because I'm the only one who's on there. So if you like this, maybe go check that out. I have two more episodes of Ferris's season going out over the next 2 weeks, and then I'm all done watching. Well, I've actually now caught up on all of Australian Survivor, which is a nice feeling. But anyway, I don't remember where my point was going, but JLP, you know, this is, people are talking about, wow, JLP, he was so good at this. Like, there's more of a clamoring for him to stay on as the host of the show and everything like that. And I know that there's rumors circulating around four names potentially who are on the next season, which I know is Harry and Simon and Brooke and Mark, I think. So I know that there's a lot of people who are like really into it and like talking about what's going to happen on the next season and all that. But why use those four people for that type of season where, let's say, it's a 24 person season. Now you have four people on that season and the other 20 are going to be newbies that nobody knows. Why not save Brooke and Simon and Mark and Harry for a season like this? Right? Because where is it here? It's where was it? John Byrne, I agree that it'll be worse in terms of name value the second time around. Sandy P, they already used all their iconic AU players. And then John Byrne says, Haley, Dirty Harry, Ferris, all there is for AU. Because you can't bring any of the people who just did this back, right? You can't do that again. So what are they going to do? I think this is probably where Australian Survivor is going, though. I think that there are so many people who will never publicly say this, right? But they play up US Survivor. They just went through that insane Survivor 50 casting process. And they want to just pretty much tell, you know, the casting team, like, have a nice day, go fly a kite. That's what I think. Okay. And if they get the opportunity to go play Australian Survivor, they will absolutely do it. Absolutely. Because they're done with the BS they just went through. And I know that a lot of people, Blake and I were talking about it, because obviously Blake doing casting is like, look, people get dragged along. This is kind of what happens. People are going to take the high road for the most part. Obviously, there's some new era people who don't. But you can only be told so many times by a group, like, you're not good enough, before you just say, like, dude, screw you guys. I mean, I know, as somebody who applies all the time, where it's like, you just don't know yourself well enough yet. I know myself pretty damn well. Maybe I'm just not what you're looking for. Like, why is it you're either one of the 18 people who is worthy of being on Survivor, or you simply don't know yourself? Like, get off your high horse. Like, what are we talking about? And that's, I think, the approach that they took with a lot of the people who went through the Survivor 50 casting process, right? I mean, I think I have the quotes here from Tyson. Tyson absolutely obliterated Survivor casting. Absolutely obliterated. And I got to see if I can find it, because I know I definitely sent it to, I know I sent it to Blake, but it's like, Tyson. So Tyson was getting ready to go, I guess, to this one. So there you go. That's even more proof that he was going to be willing to do it. I got to see if I can find this, because it actually is really good. Where Tyson, yeah. So here it is. This was from All Winner Survivor. This is Tyson. Season 50 is coming up. Lots of questionable choices, because it is not the celebration of eras of Survivor like they promised. I noticed online it got a very poor grade as far as casting concerned, but people are going to enjoy watching, of course. There's still four or five absolute wackadoos on there, and that's going to drive the season no matter what. There's going to be background fodder, he teased. If you packed it all with absolute superstars, somebody's going to be background noise. Anyways, so why not just get a standard background noise person to fill their role, and then you don't have to argue in the editing room who's going to be background. And then Tyson on old school Survivor players returning to reality TV show on other networks, because obviously he's going to House of Villains. I think it's amazing, but it's hard. I got my start on Survivor, but a lot of times their attitude is like, we made you. And it's like, no, I made myself. He told The Wrap. All these claims about them finding people, they didn't make anybody except for maybe Rupert the pirate. Anybody who plays a character, sure, maybe they created that person a little bit. Like, obviously Tyson is known for that biting, like, That was his character on Token Chains, and that's kind of what he's been, obviously, with this podcast over on The Ringer. Like, this is what Tyson does. But I also think that this frustration he has, that he's willing to voice because he's already played US so many times, and now he's moved on to bigger and better things, and he doesn't really care anymore, this is something that some people are scared to voice at this point. And with how much people were voicing it, with how the fan pushback has been so aggressive, right, on some of the choices for 50, like leaving Carolyn off because she played the traitors, Jeff did come out and say that, you know, he changes his stance on this, right? He had the wrong approach. But you've pissed so many people off. So if you're AU right now and you're looking to figure out how you can keep getting your numbers up and up and up and up, don't do a season with four AU players who have played before and then 20 people that nobody's ever heard of. Do another season that is 12 and 12 with US players. So that's just my take on that, because there's plenty of people who are willing to do it. And maybe you can't do that because maybe there is something from Jeff where Jeff says you can't do this and you can't, like CBS says something. But a lot of these people's contracts are done at this point, right? Fair Play doesn't have a contract with CBS, right? Wentworth doesn't have a contract with CBS. Sarah Lucina doesn't have a contract with CBS, right? And that's like, we had Adam on the podcast a couple weeks ago and he was saying, I'd play AU in a second. There's so many people who feel that way right now. And maybe it's not necessarily as angry as Tyson's, and Tyson's is still so tongue in cheek, right? Tyson's saying it with a smile on his face because Tyson knows that he's going to get, he wants the click, man. He knows what this do. He knows what he's doing. He's playing a villain. He's going to House of Villains. But at the same time, there's a lot of truth in that. There's a lot of truth in sarcasm. A lot of the time, there's a lot of truth in insults, right? You know, when you look at how he's talking about this, that's how so many people feel. It's, we made you, we're so good at our job that we know how to make these people. It's like, I mean, Tony was going to be good TV, whether he was on Survivor or The Amazing Race or Big Brother or, you know, Colby's freaking shooting show. Like, who cares? He was going to be good TV. Survivor is just a really fun premise and a really fun show. So anyway, that gets to the point of, is this the future of Survivor? Not US, but this, I think this really is the future of AU. I think even if we got like a 16 and 8 cast or something like that, meaning 16 AU and 8 from another, or maybe it would be a 12 AU, 12 US, and it's like 6 newbie AU, 6 newbie, or I think what they could do, if you got to do two tribes, 6 newbie AU, 6 returning player AU, 6 world players, meaning international season, 6 US players. And there you go. Now you have 24, right? And you're still doing two tribes of 12. And that's what you do. Like, I think that would work. Cause I don't think US is never going to go this route, mainly because of like dishing out the prize money and stuff. It would be such a hassle. Like, that's why it's open to Canadians and US, right? Like, those are the only people who can like play US Survivor. It has to do with the prize money. It has to do with like the logistics. It has to do with the legality. It has to do with all of that stuff. Like, obviously US, it can be so much more complicated. I think when you go to play AU, I think going this route, there's so much that you can do with this. And Kate, the great one, says, especially the AU method of casting athletes and celebs as newbies. Yeah. Like, you can pick some people here that we've already heard of and just say, let's do it. So all of that is a long-winded way to say Australian Survivor is going to have another season with the Golden God as the host. If the franchise is smart, I think the season after that is a full version of what we just watched. And I think that would be great. If it keeps being this little spinoff, this is a spinoff, right? It's the Olympics, not the NBA. It's the winning the US gold, is winning the gold medal for the US in the Olympics, not winning the NBA finals. I think that they need to go all in, because if you go spinoff route, if you go this feeling, the cast for the next one's not going to be as good. So if you go 14 players for the next one and the cast isn't as good, you're not going to get the same hype. You're not going to get the same people being excited about it. This is getting almost universal acclaim because the cast was so phenomenal, and there's zero denying that, right? This is one of the best casts ever assembled. That's not going to be the case the next time they do it. So you can't do another version of this that's 16 days with 14 people if the cast isn't going to be as good. You have to go big because the hype and everything, the ratings, it won't be the same. So that's my thoughts on that. One thing I haven't talked about is Suri losing a fire again, because it just makes me sad. It really does. It just makes me so sad. I wanted Ceree to win. Come on. Of course. Of course I wanted Ceree to win. It sucks. It sucks so bad. And you know what? Honestly, if it would have been Ceree, Janine, and Parv in Final Three, I like Luke a lot. I really do. Like, he's one of the more entertaining players from AU for sure. But if he wasn't going to have a chance to win and it's Parv, Ceree, and Janine, and we get to see Parv versus Ceree finally duke it out, that's what I wanted. Luke versus Parv didn't actually feel like that much of a battle. It felt like it was predetermined, right? Parv just had the game wrapped up. Luke did not do enough. But if Ceree's there, it's a totally different story. Totally, totally different story. And so I just think that that's what I wanted, right? So I didn't talk about that, but, you know, I'm trying to talk more about thoughts, not just like moments that happen and everything like that. But God, the Ceree thing is heartbreaking. So now she's played 5 times and has never been voted out by a majority still. Goryeb speaking full intelligence right now. The way Ceree is hyping 50, it feels like maybe she won. I mean, she said it was the best season ever. I hope so. She's not going to win, but she's hyping it. I mean, they're all hyping it. You have to hype it. I mean, that's like Parv even saying with this season, you know, this is the best group of players, all that. Of course she's going to say that. She wants to win the season that's considered the best group and the best season and all that. Everybody wants that. But yeah, for me, this season is a very mid-tier season. And I know that that's like not what people want to hear, but to me, this season had some high highs. It had some whatever moments. Towards the end, I was kind of bored with it. Like the cast moment when she goes home was pretty good. I don't understand why they just voted Tommy out at 7. That felt like really, really silly. It felt like that was the best time to boot Parvati or Ceree. Shawnee going at 5 was super predictable. I don't know. Like it was good. Like, it's good. And there are some great moments, but yeah, like Titans versus Rebels is better. Yeah. So anyway, that's really all I have about this. I wanted to get final thoughts. I wanted to talk about that. I had put in the description a couple things. Let me just make sure I hit them all. I did. I hit everything that I said I wanted to do. So yeah, overall solid. Not great, solid, would watch again, hope they go all in. I hope they're in the room right now figuring out what's the best way to do this. Because, you know, this is what people want to be watching right now. This is what people want to be watching. And honestly, with how reality TV has gone, people are so much more invested in shows that have returning players, right? The Traitors is a huge hit. Deal or No Deal Island has survived because of the returning players. People are more excited for 50. People were stoked for AU versus the World. People get excited when they get to watch returning players. That doesn't mean I want to get rid of the pool of newbies. I don't want that at all. Right. But I do think that they need to. AU needs to lean into this harder than US does. So that's it. Miss Jubilee says, do you think Survivor will invite JT back again? I think JT would be a perfect person for AU. An AU versus the World season, JT would be perfect because the type of chaos that JT played with in his last 2 seasons that everybody thinks were like bad performances, I actually think would work really well on AU. And honestly, like people were saying earlier, like, oh, they already got rid of theirs. I'd watch Miles play again. I'd watch AJ play again. I'd watch Logan play again. Like there's plenty of people from the most recent season that I would absolutely watch play again. So yeah, I think there's a massive pool to be taking from here. It's just a matter of how they want to do it, but just, it can't be, here's your main season of Australian Survivor. Here's your minor season of Australian Survivor. Cause this shouldn't have felt like a minor season. Right. But with how it was put out, with how short it was, with the time that it was actually airing, it does feel minor in some ways. But anyway, let me know what you all think, how you feel about Parvati now. Like, does she dethrone the queen? Is she the queen? I mean, trust me, I was seeing nonstop on Instagram and stuff about how she is officially the queen. I'm like, oh, no, you got to steal the crown from Sandra there. But you know, let me know what you think, what you're hoping for the future of Australian Survivor. Do you like the idea of AU versus the World 2 potentially being something further down the line? Would you like to see it as a bigger version? And what do you think the solution would be, especially if you can't just do half AU and half US? That's really it. That's what I got. Like this video, subscribe to the channel. If you're still following along with the 49 coverage, we put out our over under game, Blake, Will, and Rome podcasted that one. So go check out the form there. It's free to fill out. You get a prize at the end. So go ahead and do that. On Thursday, I'm going to be live at 6:30 p.m. with Peridium. We're going to be doing the prop bet game for season 49. And if you want to join our fantasy game, become a patron, $20 patron, top tier patron. If you become that, you can participate in our fantasy game. The link is over in a group chat of all of the top tier patrons, and you can jump in and you can make a fantasy team, and you can also win a prize for that. And then you can also be involved in the power rankings game, which is going to be coming back next week because somehow Survivor 49 premieres next Wednesday. So thank you all so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Leave me some comments, like this video, and I will see you on Thursday when I'm live with Peridium.